What are we celebrating?
Happy anniversary. How many years we got?
21.
21. We legal now. Amen. We legal. Let's stand our feet. Y'all make sure y'all say happy anniversary to everybody today.
His boss. You know what?
All right, let's do our proclamation. I know I can project loud enough. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who?
Pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
This is how I fight my battle.
responsive reading this morning. Found in Psalms chapter 46. Responsive reading this morning is found in Psalms chapter 46. And it reads as follows. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire together.
He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Lord God, our Father, we thank you this morning for being our refuge and our strength. And most of all, Father, we thank you for providing a place where we can come and worship you. We know that you're here with us this morning. So all we ask is that we accept, that you accept the praise and worship that we send unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
No, he's welcome, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Not just into this place, but into every place we go. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts together as we offer up praise to his name.
You desire to abide.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Before I forget, this front row here, I know most people don't sit up here, but it is out of commission right now, so if you could just like not, that would be great. We are really, really, really excited. Running for Christ Ministries is going to be having a prayer hour. All right. And so I know this is something that Pastor Sarah has talked about with me, I know, for a long time. So it's happening. Amen. So it is happening on Saturday, May 25th. Prayer is from 1:15 to 2:15 and lunch is from 2:25 to 3:30. So you need to RSVP with Pastor Sarah by May the 12th, and there is a sign-up sheet on the back table. So make sure you go to the back table and sign up, and you gonna pray before you get your food. So you can't just show up for food. You got to show up to pray first and then eat. Okay. Right. Okay. So go ahead.
Yeah. So it's like a guided prayer, and so one of the things that the Lord has really been pressed on my heart is that we need to pray as a church. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to keep it as intimate as possible within our church. So, because there's been some things that we've all like had on the prayer list. And so, like 6 weeks, the Lord is like, we need to come together and pray. And then I was like, let's eat after that. So that's the premise of it, is guided prayer. The leadership team will be praying through certain topics. And then we'll pray for an hour together. And then after that, we'll go downstairs and have fellowship.
Amen. So make sure again to RSVP with Pastor Sarah by May the 12th. And again, there is a sign-up sheet back there. So everybody's names should really be on it because, you know, we all like to eat. Amen? All right.
Amen.
Okay. So it is our church anniversary. Amen. It is our church anniversary. 21 years. Amen. We have had our hand in the Lord's hand, and the Lord has been awesome. Amen. So, of course, we're celebrating all month long our church anniversary. So Pastor O is going to be bringing the word this morning. And so as a reminder, Monday, of course, we have our new Bible class. We're going into week 3 of the Bible, God's Word to us. It is taught by Pastor O. It's at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. It's a 5-week class, so obviously we're already halfway through. Questions are online. There's also questions on the back table back there, so please make sure you grab your questions to be able to participate. Also, don't forget that Minister Shelley has her Blog Talk Radio show, Street Love, on Mondays at 6:30. So if you just want to get information on that, just go to our church website, rfcm.org. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class on Blog Talk. This week, the teacher is Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and the lesson is Jesus' First Miracle. So if you need a book, of course, go to our church website. And then also on Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy has Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk Radio. And also, I usually don't really hype up our Saturday worship service that happens on Blog Talk Radio, but honestly, if you are not listening to our Saturday worship service, it's a totally different experience than when you're here in person. Okay, you're where you're at or whatever, but it's still the same. You get the music, you get the declaration, you get the scripture and prayer, you get everything. And then you get word, like good word. You know, what the pastors do up here, it's different than what it is on Blog Talk. So if you're not listening, you're really, really missing out. So tune in to our Saturday worship service. Everything is recorded. It's all archived. It's all free. Everything we do here goes on the church website. Use those. sermons that you're hearing. Listen to Saturday worship service. Like, it's not enough to just get what you get on Sunday. Listen to Saturday. Listen to what's going on during the week as well. I said that part, tithes and offerings, we're going to be doing that. We're going to have altar call. Birthdays, the only birthday that I have this month is Nedra. Her birthday was on the 12th. I don't know anybody else's birthday for this month. Who's missing? I already know your birthday. Not, no, ma'am. No, you got me last. No. Kennedy. Who? Kennedy. Lisa's Kennedy. Oh, when is her birthday?
The 18th.
On the 18th. Okay. Okay. So Kennedy and Nedra. All right. Very good. Okay. All right. And then your devotional is entitled "When God Gives You a Second Chance, Seize It." Since we are God's co-workers, we talked about that in Bible class this morning. We urge you not to let God's kindness be wasted on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. When God gives you another chance to fulfill your mission in life, seize it. Don't waste it. It's the time to focus on God's unique calling for your life. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 6, verse 1, since we are God's co-workers, we urge you not to let God's kindness be wasted on you. God's done so much for you. He's forgiven your sins. He's given you more than one second chance. He will give you another opportunity to serve him. Take a look at Paul. He was killing Christians because he thought they were heretics who were following a dead and disgraced leader. But then Jesus confronted Paul on the road to Damascus and offered him a second chance to fulfill his real mission on earth. Paul accepted his assignment and did a 180-degree turn, and he never forgot the second chance God gave him. Later in his ministry, Paul said, "I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace." That's Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Because Paul was so grateful God was using him, nothing else mattered to him. No matter how badly you've messed up, God hasn't changed your mission. Maybe you've started to drift just a little bit. God still hasn't changed your mission. So get back to it. Get started today. When God gives you another chance, don't delay, obey. God's second chances reflect his grace and his love for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sorry, real quick. Next Sunday, if possible, our college students, if you can be here next Sunday, and if you can't be present, have someone here, have your proxy, someone here who can accept. We're going to have a special gift for our college students. And so please be here if you can, and if not, have someone here who can accept that for you. Thank you.
Okay, and then the other announcement is coming from the back for those who can't hear. Don't forget that Deacon Tate is still collecting for your gift of love for Pastor and Sister Sheila, so Sister Sheila can utilize it properly. Amen. Anointed, blessed.
My daughter Makaya graduates April 28th from Michigan State.
Okay, well.
Yes, so if some of us missing on the 28th, you know we'll be raising up a banner. Amen. Bless her, because I did the five-year plan. Stand to your feet. It is that time where you participate in song as well as in giving. See, we sing while we're giving, so it don't hurt as much. Amen.
Every word of
heard y'all back there.
I heard.
That's all right, amen. You may be seated. It's time for altar call. He sat down before I could catch him. We're going to have our pastor, brother, nephew, Dr. Reverend Jonathan, come on up and lead us all that. Somebody, daddy, in prayer. As you see, his son John John and himself as well is on the list. Continuing the prayer for Ron Matthews, for Mackie's mom, for Deaconess Lisa and Anita. They funeralized their aunt yesterday. But again, this month our focus is on all us, Run of Christ Ministries. Every member, active, inactive, seen and unseen. When you remember somebody, pray for them. Did you have on your birthday list, Nedra?
Yes.
And then, of course, our mothers, our continuing prayer for Darius and Nico and Nedra walks in the door and we pray for them. Doris, our mothers, of course, it's good to see 3 out of 4 today. So keep Mother Marilyn in your prayer. I know her back is really bothering her a lot. So keep her in your prayers. And of course, y'all, we know about the situations. I hope you are aware of the situations that are going on in Gaza and Israel and Iran. That part of the world, period, is trying to set itself on fire. And then, of course, the conditions in Haiti and in Ukraine. You know, we read in our scripture, God ceases wars. He brings them to an end. So we need to pray in that regard. And of course, our government is trying to do something, but let's keep them in prayer as well, those who had a rule over us. So as Jonathan's praying aloud, we will quietly be praying to ourselves and just respecting the fact that we get to talk to the living God about everything.
Let us pray. God, our Savior, God, our healer, God, our deliverer, I thank you, Lord, for the article that you allow me to read where the 10-year-old boy was abducted in Georgia, and he just sang, every praise is due our God. And he said it over and over again, so much so that his kidnapper let him go. A child understood that those titles are real. Our elder brother saved us from destruction eternally. We receive healing and deliverance throughout each and every day. Even though it may not come sometimes how we want, but just the fact that we can open our eyes and say thank you for a new day. Sometimes, Lord, we take you for granted because sometimes you're the head of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we believe what your word says.
Yes, talk to us.
Sometimes we look back at where you brought us from and where we are today.
All right.
And we still don't believe. And the reality is this. You haven't lost control. You're everything that we need and desire, truthfully. You are our first love because you first loved us. And then you love us unconditionally despite our disrespect to you. So right now, Lord, we come to you boldly because of what our elder brother Jesus did. And we say thank you for being all that. But Lord, help us to realize that you're all that. Help us to realize that each and every day, despite what we go through, despite what we face, despite how people treat us, despite what people say, help us to realize that all we need is in you.
So true.
And help us, Lord, not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, Lord. Help us to realize that the mission is to attract people to the body, not just to sing and dance and praise on Sunday and go back to the status quo on Monday. But help us, Lord, to lift up your name, to magnify you, to realize that salvation and glory, all honor and power belongs to you. But you've allowed us to share in it as heirs. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, Lord, but there's a lot going on in this world where people have lost hope, where people think that a world war is, we're on the verge of that, where people, Lord, believe that they're God and not you. Help us, Lord, to dispel those rumors. And whatever we face, whether it's war, whether it's sickness, famine, disease, struggles in our bodies, in our minds, in our souls, help us, Lord, to cast all that before you because you care for us. And Lord, give us, create in us, Lord, a clean heart and the right way of living so that we can experience the change that we need to experience and see through you. Because you already done everything you needed to do for us and to us and in us. But help us, Lord, to do our part in action as we show our love in return to you. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort, for the healing, for the restoration, for the sobriety, for the repentance, Lord, that you've blessed us with already. But help us to tap into that full power and potential as we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For Keela, she had another foot surgery on Friday. So Deacon Eric did state that she told him that she was probably going to be in a wheelchair for at least 3 months. So you know they keep going in and working on that foot, trying to get her, you know, keep it. But so just pray for her because, you know, she has a surgery after surgery and the first surgery is not healing and then they're going back and doing another one. So she had it on Friday, so just keep her in prayer.
She took it off.
From the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 120, no it isn't, 118 verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's Psalm 122 verse 1. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. In this big yet little church where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. In this church that is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. Where we come to worship and learn about the Word of God. Another spiritual breakfast has been prepared to nourish our inner men. Let's get the meat of this word. If you miss any parts or you just want to study, you can go back and listen to the message again because it will be recorded and available later today on rfcm.org. Let us look intently into the Word and get closer to Jesus. Today's message is titled, The Gospel, God's Power to Save. The text is Romans chapter 1. Verses 14 through 17. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1, verses 14 through 17. And in my Bible, the title is Greetings from Paul. So this is Paul speaking. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome, too, to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Amen. Amen. Prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall. Bring us a word from the Lord about the gospel, God's power to save. So church, repeat after me. Paso!
Paso!
Break it down for
us.
Church kid, right? Like, crawl faster than I can walk. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Amen. Oh, Jesus. How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah? Great?
Great.
Wonderful?
Best.
Best?
Yes.
Nobody's gooder? Nobody's gooder than us? You want to go to good rest. That's a good rest as a gift, right? Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, again, for what is 7 days later. And you've been so good that you allowed us to have a mind to come out to the house this morning so that we could see one another, commiserate with one another, and encourage one another to continue in love and in doing good deeds. We recognize, Lord, that we are in the last days, and Jesus is soon to come back and get us. So, Lord, help us to be like those who you gave gifts to, and on your return, you expected them to have done something with them according to the ability you gave them. Help us, Jesus, to be the ones that when you come back, you say, well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Yes. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things.
All right.
Help us, Lord, to get this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
Yes, so they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because my ways and thoughts.
Because my ways and thoughts.
Not like yours.
Not like yours.
But that's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here.
Change the way I think.
Change
the way you think.
The way you think.
So I can always know.
So I can always
know.
You're good.
Reason and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's 8 billion people on the planet, and who knows how many since Adam. But God has had a plan for each and every one of their lives. See, God's plan for Rebecca is not God's plan for Ed, even though they've been together, even though they're married. You got work for her. Like Sheila got work to do. I can't do it. Nico, I can't do Sheila work. Last too long. And you have to be right. I can't do Sheila work. You got to be exact. She worked with numbers, books, and all kinds of nonsense. I can't do that. I don't have no patience, so I can't do that. I could, but I just messed it up. So Jesus won't let me do it. Sure, you remember back in the day, me and Christopher used to try to get out of stuff. That's my brother Christopher.
Yes.
We used to try to get out of stuff first by messing it up. And but my father was real patient. They say, okay, just go ahead and start it all over again.
Oh.
Amen. So we kind of learned to get it right the first time. Because see, Marcus, he didn't care if you had to redo it. He'd let you redo it all day while your friends are out playing. But you, amen, you go ahead and learn to get that thing right. Amen. So you go outside and play. So, you know, I didn't really fully appreciate it, you know, until I was grown.
Yes.
And then I understood why he taught us. To this day, we rarely have to call anybody to do anything in our house. Why? Because my father said, as long as I got you boys and all y'all sit around this table eating up all my food, how you gonna do it? I ain't hiring nobody.
That's how you
do it. Amen. Sisters didn't get away. No, they were boys too. He didn't care. You can do this. Amen. He was an equal opportunity to let you endure. Amen.
Let you
endure. Yes, he was. He didn't care if he was male or female. You could do it. Told my mother, washing dishes is a woman's job. I learned that by watching Leave It to Beaver. See, Warren would be gone all day. He wore a suit all day long, every day. And she walked around dressed up like she was going to church all day, every day. Amen. But she was the one at the crib doing all the work. So I told my mother, men don't do that. Don't even leave her. That's woman's work. She was so kind. Alicia, she was so kind. You know what she let me do? Watch the dishes for a whole year. She wanted me to be sure that a man could do it. Praise the Lord. I never asked her about no woman's work. That's man's work. Don't let me do it because I'm a boy. Amen. Didn't work either, right? Boys need to be trained too.
My son is a great
Woo! Okay. What was I doing? Oh. Well, actually, yeah, right. I thought I was telling myself for a minute, but anyway. Amen. We left off last week in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We're going to the book of Romans now.
Okay.
Amen. Y'all know that God's grace is sufficient, right?
Yes.
For whatever. You cannot have a problem that God's grace is not sufficient. Now, where your problem is believing God's grace is sufficient for this. Amen? And we read about a myriad of things that Paul went through. And when he came to the end, he came to the conclusion that God's grace is sufficient to get you through all of that. And most of us have never been through any of the things he named in chapter 11, right? Amen. So we know that God's grace is sufficient for whatever we face. Now, the book of Romans, amen, is an excellent piece of work, an excellent argument in favor of the existence of God or how we are saved. It is Paul's testament to the Roman people, to the Roman Christians, the Christians in Rome, a church that we don't know who planted the church. But it's AD 57, Paul is in Corinth on his second missionary journey, headed for his third. Just 3 years later, he don't know it now, but 3 years later, he'll be in Rome. He'll be going to Rome to visit with the Roman Christians face to face. But right now, somebody has told him that there is a church in Rome. You got to go to your knock. See, I put those little touch on. Amen. See, you got turned and burned. Amen. You got to hold your laugh. See? You got the laughing notes. Amen. Amen. So somebody told Paul, there is a church in Rome. And so Paul decides, while he's in Corinth, around AD 57, to write them a letter. Two things that he wants to do with this letter. Number one, he wants to introduce himself to them because they don't know him.
All right.
And number two, he wants to let them know what he believes about how we are made right with God. There are some Jews in this church in Rome, and there are some Gentiles in this church in Rome. Paul, he has a bit of a different salutation in this book than his other books. If you read Paul a lot, you quickly learn some characteristics about him, some things that he does all the time, and it shows up in most of every book that he writes. Okay? So, Paul wants to introduce himself to them. He wants to make them know that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus called me to be an apostle to the Gentiles. That's why, if you notice in this letter that he writes, when he gets to the verse where Rebecca started reading, he says he feels obligated, or he is obligated, to the Greeks and the non-Greeks. He doesn't mention Jews. Why? Because he has let them know that I am the apostle to who? The Gentiles. Isn't that something? God picked somebody who was steeped in Judaism to send them to the Gentiles. Now, it's amazing that he would do that, but not all together. Why? Because where did Paul grow up? He grew up in the city of Tarsus, right? So he grew up among the Gentiles. He was aware of their customs. He was aware of their ways. So who better to send to them than somebody who's familiar with them? You can't send Peter to the Gentiles. Because when Jesus had Peter to go to Samaria, he had something to say to them.
Right.
When he sent him down to Cornelius' house, three times God said, look, don't call him dirty when I call him clean, right? As soon as he gets to Cornelius' house, what does he say? You know how it's unlawful for me, being a Jew, to come into the house of a Gentile. Really? Didn't Jesus tell you not to even worry about that, not to even mention that? So Peter was steeped in Judaism. And so the Lord used him to be an apostle to who?
To
the Jews, right? But Paul grew up among the Gentiles, the wild people, the ones who ain't had no God, where they had got odds. Amen, a whole bunch of them. Anything that looked like it helped them, they called it God. And they started worshiping. Whereas the Jews had only one God. So Peter's problem was as hard as Paul's. Paul's trying to introduce a God to them they don't know. Peter's trying to get them to come to the God they know. But they don't know him as Jesus. So now Peter's got work to do. He's got to convince them. But Paul writes this letter to the Romans, and it is one of the greatest arguments in favor of Christianity that you're probably going to read in the New Testament, okay? Everything is in it. Those of you who are familiar with Christian doctrine and you understand the seven arguments in the favor of Jesus being the Christ, amen, in favor of God existing as who he is, amen, Paul is perfect to go to these people. We need to understand and know those arguments, because all those arguments are in this book. He gives them the argument from belief. In chapter 1, he deals with people who may be atheists. He deals with people who definitely don't know the true and living God.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
So he gives them the argument from belief. He starts that right out, claiming that Jesus Christ is the only way to be made right with God. And church, we're going to have to accept that.
Amen.
We're going to have to stop saying the Muslims can go to heaven too just because they worship different. No, they can't. Jesus said, I'm going to wear a way to prepare a place for you so that you might be with me where I am. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody gets to that heaven unless they come through me. That don't include Allah.
All right.
That don't include any of the gods of the Hindus. That don't even include the God of your mind. If you want to get to the heaven where Jesus is, if you want your loved ones to get to the heaven where Jesus is, then Jesus needs to be their savior so he can come back and get them.
Okay.
Other than that, the only other place that we know of is hell. So Paul wants these Roman Christians, these Gentile Christians mixed up with these Jews and the Jews to know Jesus is the only way to be saved. So that's why I entitled this sermon, The Gospel, God's Power to Save. Notice it didn't say convicting people. God's power to save. Condemning people. God's power to save. Telling people you're going to hell if you don't listen to me. God's power. That's not it. It is, I believe it was, when was that? We was in this class with Janice. Wasn't it the, what is it, the Euon Galeon?
Yeah.
And what is that class? The good news. Amen. The good news is that God is reconciling the world back to himself through his son Jesus. That's the good news. The good news is he died. The good news is he was buried. The good news is he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the good news. If you believe that good news, you're saved. Oh, that's good news. You know why it's good news? Because if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. Amen. It's time that we stop playing with people, claim that we love them and tell them, well, you know, you just be a nice person, you can go to heaven. No, you can't. You can't be nice enough to please God. And how many of us is nice all day long? We nice until we ain't. We nice until we get to that store where this person is mad that we even walk through the door. Naturally, they just mad. They just start acting all kinds of crazy because we stand here. Now we don't got none of that. Oh Lord, I'll never forget when me and Sheila went to get some french fries from this place on 10th and 5th. The lady told Sheila she didn't have no fries. Sheila said, do you have any fries? She said, I told you we ain't got no fries. I'm like, oh Jesus. I would have beat the lady up and I don't fight with
her. All right.
I said, so you know, from that day to this day, every time we get mentioned fries, I feel like, you got no fries. Amen. Imagine if God said, you got to go to church every Sunday or you're not saved. Y'all know I wouldn't be saved, right? Unless you go over and over and over and over. Amen, because I've had to join the same one 6 times. I'd be out. What if God said, you got to go to Bible class every week or you ain't saved? God said, you can't never cuss. If you ever cuss, you ain't saved.
Okay.
God said, if you cough while you're drinking, you ain't saved. The reason we're saved is because Jesus died for our sins.
Okay, say it, Doc.
And that is Paul's major goal in this treatise, in this argument that he's going to make in favor of Jesus being the Christ and the only way to be saved and be made right with God. This whole book is about that.
Okay.
Every single chapter is about that. Whenever you start reading the book of the Bible, find out as much as you can about the author, and then find out as much as you can about the book. Find out as much as you can about the people he's writing to. Do all the questions of who, what, when, where, and why. Do all of that. Do your whatever etymology you have to do. Understand the words that you're reading and what they mean in that context. And so Paul makes a beautiful argument in favor of Jesus doing the Christ. This, I believe, because my pastor had given me a book, Argument to the Romans, or Romans, an Argument in Favor of Christ. So one of the things, gave me a book a long time ago. It was the first book of the Bible that I think I memorized. You know, when I say memorize, you know what's in all the chapters. You follow it from the beginning, and you take the steps with Paul. It's beautiful. In chapter 1, he talks to Gentiles. Okay? Or people who have Gentile behavior.
Okay.
When you look at chapter 2, he is definitely talking to the Jews. And his sole goal in the first three chapters, at first up to chapter 3 of chapter 19, verse 19 of chapter 3, his whole goal is to make sure the Gentiles know you can't escape because you're ignorant of God. And he wants the Jews to know you can't escape by thinking you got the law, so we God's people. No, you don't keep it anyway. And here's the big problem with the law. God didn't give it to save you. That's like saying that stop sign is going to save me from getting a ticket. Well, what if the police sit right there on the corner and I run straight through the stop sign? Is the stop guy going to say, hey, police right there, slow down? You know what that stop guy is going to do, Nathan? Who's going to let the police? I say stop. He didn't. In other words, it's not going to try to help me at all. In fact, this cop going to point to the sign. What the sign tell you? Stop. What did you do? I kept going. Ticket time.
Ticket.
Amen. So God didn't give the law to save them, but that's going to come up in another part of this sermon. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But in chapter 1, he says, he speaks these words that Lecrae founded a whole record company off of these words. 116. They created what they call the 116 click. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God because it's the power.
Yes.
Amen. It has the power that's able to reconcile us back to God. Do you understand that? There is nothing else, there is nobody else, there is no person, place, thing, or thought that has enough power to make you right with God. But the gospel can. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever what? Won't perish but have everlasting life. Nothing else in existence has that power.
Amen.
Nothing. The gospel is powerful enough cover a multitude of sins. God's love through the gospel is so powerful, love will do what? Cover a multitude of sins. The Bible is, gospel is so powerful that even though our sins has us crimson like what? Crimson red. Bright red. Like that bright red lipstick I saw on somebody this morning. I thought they was trying to be a clown, but they was trying to be cute. Amen. Praise the Lord. They had too much on. Surely they had too much on. I'm like, look like you even got an apple sold to you. Listen, you got too much on. It's too red. But Jesus said that's how me and y'all's sins were. I'm like, Jesus, that's red. Our sins was bad. Amen. But guess what? The gospel can wash them red lips white as snow. Amen. If the gospel has the power to take our sin and completely eradicate it. I mean, bleach can't get everything out, but the gospel can. Amen. Somebody like, oh, wash my clothes in the gospel, get them real clean.
Get them right.
Amen. I mean, we were a filthy. I remember my brother and Christopher and I used to go outside and, you know, play. We played in the dirt. Amen. Yeah, we played in the dirt. We, My pants was dirty, my shirt was dirty, my hands was dirty, my arms was dirty. My mother used to tell us to get in that tub. Don't you go nowhere else in the house. Around here like Pigman, just falling off everywhere. Get in the tub. She wanted to get us washed up. That's what the Lord does for us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The power of the gospel cleanses us. Instantly makes us right with God. Now we're acceptable in His sight.
Okay.
The wrath of God, which we'll talk about later, the wrath of God is no longer being revealed from heaven against us. Why? Because there's no condemnation.
Yes.
Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ.
Okay.
I love being saved. I don't like being on a Christian and say, you know, you got to do this, this, and this, because you're kissing me. No, I got to believe that Jesus died for my sins. Okay, and was raised on the third day according to the scripture. That's what I got to do. I got to believe that. Now, walking in Christ, we'll get to that. Amen. But what Paul does in this entire book is demonstrate clearly how we're made right with God. Number one, he uses the cosmological argument. The Lord is the creator of heaven and earth. Amen.
Okay.
We already talked about the argument from belief. God has given us the ability to believe him. Let me say it like that. God has not created anybody that cannot believe what he said about Jesus.
Okay.
Every man has a measure of faith. God would not have sent you here and gave you no way to accept Christ. See, because he has given us the ability to believe his report concerning his only begotten son. If he didn't give us that, he can't send us to hell, brother. Because we can't accept Jesus. We don't know how. We don't have the faith to. But God has given us the faith. The Lord said in the same book that we're talking about that even if we never had a Bible. He said his eternal Godhead, his divine nature, all of these things could be seen how? Through nature itself. Through the creation. The creation preaches the gospel. So there'll be nobody who'll be able to stand in front of Jesus and say, I didn't know. I couldn't believe. No, you can believe. Now, man, you go up to McDonald's and you believe they're going to give you a Happy Meal. You believe you ain't nobody's spirit. You believe a whole lot. You believe if you pray over this food, whatever they did to it in the back room, going to fix it.
I pray on it.
I'm going to come pick you up in the morning. You believe that? But we have to have something special to believe what God said. If I can believe you say your name Ralph, then I can believe Jesus when he says it, especially when he proves it.
Come on, Pastor.
God has given us what? Many convincing proofs that everything he said in the Bible is true. But when we get into the next part about God's wrath, you're going to see why everybody don't believe. There's a reason. We wonder all the time why people don't believe. Amen. There's a reason they don't believe. They don't want to believe.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you believe, then that'll get you saved. But once you believe, then you have to start living like you believe. And they don't want to live like that because it's opposite of their thinking, the way they want to live. So Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to save people from what? God's wrath. Amen?
Okay.
It is the power of God to save people from God's wrath. And that's why Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Everybody you look at, it does not matter who they are or how bad they are. Preach the gospel to them. It can change them. What if nobody told? What if Ananias said, I'm not going down there to Straight Street or Judas' house to see Paul? He evil. I want him to go to hell. But Ananias went down there.
Right.
Preach the gospel to Paul, the Jesus who you met on the way here sent me here, and he sent me here to restore your sight. Paul was happy to see Ananias. Why? Because the Lord had let him know that Ananias was coming, going to lay his hands on him, he's going to receive his sight, and he's going to let you know what things you must suffer for my name's sake. So he preached the gospel to Paul. Paul got saved.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Peter never didn't trust Paul. Amen. Barnabas had to, over time, sneak him up to Paul now and reconcile him, because they was like, dude, you don't want to come over here. Because we know what you did to the church. And now you're talking about your own team. Well, we don't believe you. They struggled with believing Paul. They didn't. And for a while, you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, they didn't even want him on the team. Peter was married. They paid for him and his wife to go here and there and do this and that. Jesus' brothers, James, they was married. They weren't able to bring their wives along on the missionary journey. Their expenses was covered. But Paul say, y'all don't pay mine. Me and Barnabas, we have to pay our own way. So they didn't really, amen, but the gospel is powerful enough to change anybody. That's why when you're trying to witness to somebody, don't stop.
Okay.
And the harder they fight, the closer you are to bringing them in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The more they push back, that's Satan pushing back. That's not them. They don't want to go to hell. Go up to somebody and say, do you want to go to hell? Do you want to be eternally separated from God?
No.
Prayerfully, they will say, no. Amen? So why are they refusing God? Why are they not accepting or letting this power work on them? Because they don't want to be saved. Amen? But nobody wants to go to hell. Satan is our adversary. You remember chapter 10, where we talked about how we fight our battles. Remember that one part that the Word of God battles back against every pretension that rises up against God? That is Satan. That is Satan trying to prevent you from bringing somebody in. What do you think? We down here in Satan's world. Do you think he's just going to let us walk up to people that he has bought and think they're going to hell? He got them fixed to go to hell, and you think he's going to let you just walk up on them, snatch them out of his kingdom into the marvelous light? No, that's not going to happen. I mean, seriously, when we have wars on this planet, do we just walk up on the other side and snatch people out?
No.
No, you got to fight. You take somebody captive, you're going to have to fight. Okay? So Satan is the one that we battle against to keep people from being saved. So Paul says to these Romans that he thoroughly believes the only way to be made right with God, amen, is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get people saved. You can't guilt trip them into getting saved. You can't scare them by telling them they're going to hell to get saved. The only way they can be saved is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the power God gave us to reconcile people to him. Remember when we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? It said God is working through us. He has given us what? The power, the ministry of what? Reconciliation. But the church won't do that no more. We come to church to get our blessing. We can, and it's all right if you want to be blessed. I'm not going to tell you not want to be happy, right? To be blessed. I'm not going to tell you that. But it ain't all about that. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning. Dr. Tony Evans said, he brought sick of people always with this, I'm for my blessing. I'm for my breakthrough. It's my change. It's my season. He said, it's all right if you want all that to be a blessing to somebody else. God does not give us the gospel just for us. He gives us the gospel for somebody else. He also talked about fruit. He talked about fruit you can what? The fruit takes on the characteristics of the tree it came from. If it's an apple tree, the fruit becomes what? He also said that the fruit is visible. You can see it. So when I see you, I should see fruit on you. First, if I go up to an apple tree and don't see any fruit on the apple tree, what do I think about that apple tree? And guess what? You know what, Nico? Know what, Beatrice? Know what she's going to share? Fruit is what? For somebody else. Apple trees don't eat apples. They bear apples for what? Somebody else. For your fruit.
That's real. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're fruit.
Okay.
I don't judge Christians, but I do look for fruit all the time. As a pastor, I look for fruit for one reason. There was a tree, I think it's in Luke chapter 13. They told Jesus, you know, this tree is worthless. Cut it down. Jesus said, no. Let's dig a trench around it, put some water in it. Let's throw some fertilizer on it. Let's get rid of all the crossers and suckers. Okay, when you're pruning something, that's what you get rid of. Mm-hmm. A crosser is a part of the tree that prevents another part of the tree from growing. Mm-hmm. A sucker is a part of the tree that's not producing anything, but it is taking up nutrients. You get rid of those so the rest of the tree can flourish. Okay. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Fruit is what people see on us. If your fruit is rotten, that means it's eating itself. Fruit is not designed to eat itself. When you leave fruit somewhere too long, what does it do? If you don't use that fruit or give that, put that fruit in the use by allowing somebody to eat it, what does it do? You know how many rotten Christians in church today? Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Rotten Christians don't spread the gospel. Why? Because all they do is feed on themselves. All they do is think about themselves. And rotten Christians don't. How many of y'all, raise your hand if you eat rotten fruit? She's so obedient. Amen. Amen. We are a walking testament of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
We are a walking testament of Jesus Christ. Quiet life, mind your own business, get the respect of those on the outside. I have never walked up on the apple tree and said, and Sarah and say, hey, I'm an apple tree. I walk up on the apple tree and I know it is. Amen?
Amen.
What kind of Christian don't never tell nobody about Jesus? What kind of Christian take everybody around them saved? Amen? What kind of Christians say they love the Lord, but they don't never tell nobody the good news? Is it good news?
Yes.
We tell people about restaurants. We tell people about food. We tell people about stuff we ate, places we went, stuff we did, all the time. But how often in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year do we talk about Jesus to somebody else?
Yeah.
Talking about Jesus, I just sit in the corner, and me and Jesus would be praising. Me and Jesus. No, Jesus didn't do that. Yeah, he would go up to the mountains, but he'd come back down.
Yeah.
And then he'd go right back to work.
Yeah.
I must do the works of him that what? Sent me while it's day, because night is coming. Who can work? Nobody. And the reason they said that in those days, they didn't have street lights. They didn't have night lights. If you didn't have a torch, you didn't have no light. The time is coming when the Lord will come back to get us. How many people have you told the gospel? How many people, when you go to heaven, if Jesus stands all the people up next to you that you led to Christ, how many people are going to be standing there? If Jesus stands all the people next to you who you taught in Christ, how many people are going to be standing next to you? How many people are going to tell Jesus, I sat under so-and-so, and they increased my knowledge of God, which increased my closeness to God. Amen. Amen. The Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto me.
Yes.
Amen. Not go to church. Study to show yourself approved. Become a workman who don't what? Need to be ashamed, but one who can rightly divide what? The truth.
Amen.
Those are the things that matter to the Lord. I know we think all that matters to the Lord is what we go daily basis. The crazy boss. The job I don't want. The car I can't get. The house I want but ain't got. Amen. We think that's the whole of Jesus' business. No, it's not. That is retarded Christianity. Amen. That means you're doing it backwards. He said what? Seek ye first what? And his what? And then what? So you don't have to seek all these things. What you have to do is seek his righteousness. What you have to do is seek his kingdom rule over you. And then he adds these things. God give us something and take us away from it. He give us a car, we drive everywhere in the church. Amen. He give us some money. He give us some money, we spend it everywhere in the church. Yeah, that's how we do.
That's how we do.
No matter what he gives us, we use it for the world. God give us some clothes, we go to the club. Amen. God give us some clothes, we go show them off. Amen. But what about that robe of righteousness? Amen. I like to show my Savior off.
Okay.
Amen.
Say it that.
You know, y'all heard me say when I go sit somewhere, Jesus moses somebody up like he be doing Jonathan. I was cracking up when I heard Jonathan preaching yesterday. He would walk up, can I talk to you? I'm like, do I look like somebody you can talk to? I don't say that out loud, baby, but I'd be like, do I look like somebody you can talk to? I mean, shouldn't you be scared? Man, no. And then I never answer a question, and they just start talking. I'm like, I didn't answer you. I should be like, they can tell you actually say that stuff out loud. I'd be on the phone with them, and people walk up and talk. He said, hold on for a minute. I'm not talking to you. I'm like, did he just say that to somebody? I'm gonna tell you the truth, boy. I'm telling you. Amen. I'm here on the phone cracking up. I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna have my boy faith. He's talking to me. Amen. Amen. Paul says, now listen, Paul says, as I come to a close for the day, Paul says, I feel obligated.
Okay.
To the Greeks and the non-Greeks. The Greeks, of course, were Greeks. Barbarians. Well, as far as Rome was concerned, anybody who did not speak Greek, okay, was a barbarian or some they call them Scythians, okay? In other words, they're uncultured, uneducated, they don't speak the Greek language. And so they just label them barbarians. But so Paul said, I speak to the Greeks. And I speak to the non-Greeks, the barbarians. Okay, I speak to the educated, because the Greeks were definitely educated. And I speak to the uneducated. In other words, he felt like having the gospel obligated him to speak to whoever he was around about the gospel. When Paul was in a Philippian jail, he preached the gospel to the other folks who were in the jail. And to the jailer, and guess what? They all got saved. There was enough power for the gospel to save everybody there. And Paul knew that. Do you know the gospel has enough power to save people on your behalf? The gospel, Stop. Yeah, this thing, talk to it. It's so stupid. They call it a smartphone, but it ain't even smart enough to not do that while I'm preaching. Amen. As we come to a close, amen.
Yes, sir.
Paul wants us to be like him. Wherever you go, grocery store, road racing on the road, wherever you at, amen. The gospel has the power to save.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
It's how God makes us right with him.
Right.
And you have that power.
Thank you.
And the Lord wants you to use that power.
Right.
He said, you, point at yourself. He said, you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. That's our goal every day, is to tell somebody Jesus died and was raised on the third day for them. We need to be the people that walk around saying, have you met Jesus? Amen. We need to be those people, amen, who walk around looking like fruit. Amen. Dr. Tony Evans cracked me up this morning. I'm going to close with this for real. This is my real, real close. Dr. Tony Evans said, we need to be more fruity. I was like, okay, dude, I don't know about that. He said, well, we need to be more fruity Christians. I'm like, I know a whole bunch of fruity Christians. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for the gospel. We thank you for giving us this awesome power. The power to reconcile somebody back to you. Only the good news can do that. Only the euangelion can accomplish that. So help us, Father, to be passionate. Help us to be visible and verbal and not just undercover Christians just worshiping Jesus and doing our thing, but actually spreading the gospel.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Rep.
Amen. I'm the rep. I'm the rep. That's right. Representative.
That's right. You represent us.
Pastor Janice Tate will have the bullpen next week. She will be preaching. And I will be in the back. Kirk, preach now.
Let's stand to our feet. Y'all ready to run out? Enjoy this beautiful sunshine and warm weather. Suck it in. Take advantage of it. Get all your vitamin D. Don't forget to pray for one another. Okay, we ain't done yet. Y'all know we got to close out. The kids are ready. About it. You share the good news. But if you don't live out like you got some good news, ain't nobody gonna listen to you. So it's more than just saying, it's actually living. That's how you declare your name. Our organism is in place. People will be hired. Let's receive our benediction. May the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide amongst us through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all power, glory, and dominion has been granted. Now and forevermore, let all God's people say.
Amen.
Amen.
We ain't doing the other song, we just doing that one song.